Okay, good Ner Shabbos. This week's Parshas Vayera, and the title is, it's really a funny title, but it makes the point, Honey, Do I Look Fat in That Dress? And this shiur is really about the dangers of telling the truth, but also the dangers of telling lies in the relationship. So everybody's familiar with the famous Chazal. You learned it in grade school about how it's a mutar lashanus for pnei hashalom, is permitted to change the truth, to not say the full truth, or to even, if necessary, lie, in order to preserve peace. The Gemara in Bava Metzia on Pei Zayin about Aleph spells it out beferish. It says, Ksiv Adoni Zokain, regarding Sarah, it says, and my master is old, Uksiv Vanizakanti, but when Hashem tells over the story to Avraham, he only mentions that she said Vanizakanti, which she sort of said too. So there's a whole discussion, you know, it wasn't maybe a lie, it was more like withholding the truth, but it's tantamount to lying ultimately in the lesson that's still learned is one can lie if need be. Hashem didn't give it over like she said. So, teaches us that how great peace is, that even Hashem would change the version of events. It's true, it wasn't really a lie, but it was a withholding of the truth. It was a change of the full intent of what Sarah was saying. Because it says, "Vatitzachek Sarah bekirba," you know, and "Vadoni zake nuksiv vayomer Hashem al Avraham vanizokanti." And if you look at the Baal Turim over there on Pasuk Yudbeis, Perakid Ches, "Vadoni zake," he says, "Begematria tochein v'lo polet," which means that that Avraham was so old that he could not even produce zera, right? And so that was what one might think a fairly big insult, the implication that he didn't have the ability to perform as a man. Now, of course, we can't really accept that Avraham was vain, and I think the point is this suggests that it might have hurt only a little bit, even a very tiny bit. But even that tiny bit, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to spare him. We don't be a tzaddik on somebody else's cheshbon. It still is insulting. If Avraham, and it would be a big anav, and handle the news with equanimity, that's quite possible. But it still was essentially a hurtful thing, and Hashem held back. In Shulchan Aruch and Choshen Mishpat, Simon Reish Samach Beis Sif Chaf Aleph, it codifies l'halacha circumstances where you can lie. It's actually mentioned agav because over there it's talking about where if you find an aveda. Now normally an aveda has to have a siman. However, in a Talmud Chacham is believed betrias ayin. A Talmud Chacham is believed to recognize something that belongs to him even if it has no siman. So that creates an interesting halachic dynamic, which is that if you found an object that's not new, because if it's new, it has no identifying features, even in terms of its shape, even if it's a vague identifying feature. So if you find a non-new object that has no siman, however, it's in a place where it's frequented by Tamidi Chachamim, you have to announce it. And if a Talmud Chacham comes forward, even without offering a siman, he is believed, because a Talmud Chacham is believed to state that he's able to recognize his objects just by general familiarity with it, betvias ayin. Now, that could be from two possibilities. One is that he's a more intelligent man and very observant, and so he notices the features of his possessions. And also, I think more likely, the pshat is that he won't engage in any self-deception and any rationalization in order to possess what is his. Right? So we trust the Talmud Chacham that he won't engage in self-deception. And the Shulchan Aruch has to decide, has to explain what is considered a Talmud Chacham, because not everybody says he is a Talmud Chacham is a Talmud Chacham. So we need to know for sure that he has bona fides, that he is truly a Talmud Chacham, and then they describe, well, a Talmud Chacham has certain attributes, and the attributes are that he makes sure that his clothing is not improper, and then also mentions that he always tells the truth, except under certain circumstances, and those circumstances either have to do with tznius or darchei shalom, or in order to preserve the peace. So it was codified in Shulchan Aruch, and that really points out how it's permitted to lie for the sake of preserving the peace. However, one has to be very careful, because it's so easy to slip and you know, start with something, well, I'm lying, you know, for Shalom Bayis, and then it really turns into much more, because, you know, that's human nature. So, interestingly, the Vayikra Rabbah in Parsha Tes talks about the Shvatim, and it says they also lied for Shalom. How did they lie for Shalom? Because when they told over to Yosef after Yaakov died already, they said, our father said that you should bear our sin and forgive us. Now the Chazal say that Yosef never told their father what happened. Yaakov never knew what happened. But the brothers made it out like they told their father, and their father gave this message over. Why'd they do that? Because they wanted Yosef to forgive them, and also they wanted Yosef not to kill them. And so that's also considered shalom. But you see, that's a little bit on the borderline, right? Because this is not lying for shalom bias. This is lying to save their skins. However, it's not really that self-serving. And the answer is because the Shvatim were really not saying anything that in essence was a lie. They knew Yaakov would have wanted Yosef to forgive them. They really were sincerely penitent at this time, and they only just spared Yaakov the technicality of bearing the pain of finding out that his sons did this. So what they really were doing was they were using Yaakov as a straw man and as a vehicle to forward an agenda that, while of course it also was self-serving because it was saving their skins, and in fact was shalom bias. And that's fair, and that's totally fair. However, there are times where one begins to slide down that slippery slope, and actually lies are contagious. And in this week's parsha, we find an interesting process where there's actually a whole chain of lies. So the next lie that we happen across is Vatikachesh Sarah Lemor Lo Tzachakti Ki Yoreya. In Perek Yud Ches Pasuk Tes Vav, Hashem tells Avraham a little bit earlier. Hashem tells Avraham, "Lama Zeh Tzachakas Sarah? Why does Sarah laugh?" Avraham confronts Sarah because he wants her to be shaped according to the right midos, and he's telling her, you know, Ayipalim Hashem Davar, is anything, you know, beyond Hashem? And Sarah's afraid that Avraham will be upset, and she only laughed. She only laughed inside. So the Ramban explains it that he didn't know. She didn't know that he knew because Hashem told him that she was laughing. She thought he just saw it on her face, so she had a chance to deny it. So she says, I didn't laugh. Right? And then Avram confronts her and says, yes, indeed, you did laugh. But here is a little bit of a slippery slope now, right? And actually, in the end, you know, she was in fact, her lie was proven to be a lie. And perhaps it was because she wasn't really lying for Shalom Bayis, right? She was lying more to save her own skin at that time. And, you know, the Gemara in Yoma says, on Samach Tesam Rav, Chesamo Shal Kodesh Baruch Hu Emes. Now, it's a very interesting Lashon. Why do they say the seal of Hashem is Emes? Chesamo Shal Kodesh Baruch Hu Emes. Why not just say, you know, it's one of the Shoshe Shrei Midas, you know, that Hashem is Emes. What's Chosamo? So Chosamo implies assent, agreement, because it's the seal. It's like the legislature makes a law, and then the king signs it and seals it. What it's saying is that truth carries the imprimatur of Hashem's agreement, meaning if you are involved in the truth, then automatically Hashem agrees with what you're doing. That's really what the Gemara in Yuma is saying in a more deeper way. It's not that truth is the seal of Hashem. It's that if you are saying the truth, then you do have Hashem's agreement with you. But it's very difficult to do. And a lot of times, we use deception that we rationalize as fishalim bias, but actually it creates emotional distance, and it also rationalizes moral laziness. So if I don't want to do something, or I don't want to deal with something, I tell myself, oh, well, I'll just lie for shalom bias, right? Because I'll have shalom bias then, right? So that is a very tough call, because if it truly is going to cause, you know, a disruption and I'm legitimate, so then it is for shalom bias. But if I just don't want to deal with it, so I lie, right? It's complicated, right? So if your wife says to you, do I look fat in that dress? Of course, that is the most deadly question in a relationship. You must say, you look amazing in that dress. You just have to say that. And then if she says, well, I don't know, I thought I looked a little fat, you say, you look fine to me. And then if she says, maybe on the third time, she says, do you think maybe I would look better in the other dress? And you'd say, well, why not try it on? Let's see how you look. And then if she looks better in that dress, you say to her, oh, well, you looked really great in the other dress, but I think you look a little better in this dress. You know, that's what you have to do, of course, that everybody who wants to have a healthy relationship knows that certain lies are necessary. However, it is very dangerous, because it is easy to jump from lying for the sake of true shalom bias versus self-deception and moral laziness. And when you lie to somebody too much, you become distant from them, and eventually you feel a certain sense of contempt because you're above them. And that gets to be very complicated. Interestingly enough, there's a third lie in this week's parasha also. There's actually a fourth, which we'll get to. But there's a third lie where right after that story, Hashem is speaking rhetorically. Some of the Mefarshim say to the angels, and he's saying that I'm going to destroy Sodom. Hamachasa ani me'avram es asher ani oseh. Shall I hide from Avraham what I'm about to do? What's going on over here? So Mefarshim talk about that his children are going to inherit the land, or Avraham would want to argue, or Avraham had complaints in his heart about how the Dor HaMabul was wiped out. There's different Mefarshim that mention it. But on a simple level, it's about relationships, and it's about honesty. Hashem is in a very special relationship with Avraham, and he's about to do a major, you know, world-turning event. So Hashem says, "Hamachasa ani Avraham? Should I keep this from Avraham? Should he not be informed about what's going on, even if I won't change what I'm going to do? Should he not be informed?" That's the opposite of using a lie in order to get away with not having to deal with something, right? Hashem is in a relationship with Avraham, and he does not use a lie or withholding the truth in order to avoid an uncomfortable conversation. No, he's going to tell Avraham. He's going to tell Avraham what he's about to do with Sodom in order to actually deal with whatever's going to happen. And yes, Avram's going to challenge Hashem and say, what if there's 50 tzaddikim? What if there's 40? What if? And all that. But Hashem is going to have to deal with it because they're in a relationship. So it can't be avoided, right? So we don't use lies for convenience. We don't use lies to avoid difficult conversations that are important to have. And we don't rationalize and say, hey, that's for Shalom bias, right? So that's what Hashem did. But, you know, man's emotions are extremely complex, and that oftentimes it's very hard to know what you're really doing. Are you really doing it for Shalom bias? Are you lying for Shalom bias? Or are you doing it to avoid an uncomfortable confrontation that you actually need to have? The Malachim is very interesting. Earlier in this week's parasha, Perek Yudches Pasuk Beis, it says Shlosh Anoshim. Why did they need to have three angels? They could have had one angel do all of it. So Rashi brings down, it's also based on a Medrash Rabbah, Shein Malach Echad Osa Shtei Shlichos. One malach can't do two different missions. So you needed three malachim because each one had a separate mission. What's that all about? Why can't one malach do more than one mission? So the different pshatim, but if you look in Perek Yudches Pasuk Hey, when it says V'sa'adu libchem, when Avram is feeding the malachim and he tells them to satisfy their hearts, Rashi quotes Amar Rav Chama Levavchem Ein Ksiv. It says Libchem, not Levavchem. There's not two vases. Why? Because Magid Shein Yetzer Hara Sholit B'Malachim. Malachim do not have a Yetzer Hara. So, but man does, right? So that's the problem with man. Man could have two different sides to him at war, and he's not going to know what his actions really serve, and sometimes he can truly lie to himself. And that's the problem with lying. The problem with lying ultimately is not that the other person lies, but the problem is it distorts our sense of self. And that's very dangerous because it really is hard to know. So there's another lie later on. In the end of the parasha, or near the end of the parasha, where you see how self-deception is a very big problem. And where is that? So it's very. We find that everybody knows the story about Lot and his daughters, right? What happens? Lot and his daughters are the only ones that escape Sodom, right? His wife was consumed in a pillar of salt. Different ways of understanding why, but it happened. So Lot finds himself in a cave with his two daughters. A lot of strange things happen. So we're going to go over the story in a little more detail in a minute, but first we'll just do the overview, then we'll do the deep story. So a lot of strange things happen, right? Basically, the older one says to the younger one, we're the only two women left in the world, and this is the only man in the world, so we need to do something about that if we want to continue mankind. And they plot to get Lot drunk. And they get drunk, and the first night the older daughter sleeps with him, and the second night the younger daughter sleeps with him, and they both get pregnant. Now, the Ramban makes an observation from Chazal way back earlier, because earlier in the story, right, Lot has a strange, twisted sense of morality, because when his guests are being, harassed by the people of Sodom, and they demand that we want these guests, which Chazal say that they wanted them for Mishkav Zachar, Lot offers his daughters instead. So they go, here, take my daughters. So that's a strange kind of morality, to give up your own daughters in order to protect the guest. So on the one hand, you have this really great midah of loyalty and achnasas orachim, and then your own daughters you're willing to give away. So the Ramban observes this. L'kach amar Rav Seinu, b'noeg sheba'olam, odam moiser atzmo al benoso val ishto, v'horeg onerag. The custom of the world is a man would give his own life for his daughters or his wife, and he would either kill or be killed. In other words, he would fight to the death to protect his wife or daughters. Zemos or Benosov, Lisalobahan. And this guy, Lot, gives his daughters in order for them to fool around with. So Amalo Kosh Baruch Hu, Hashem said, La'atzmecha ata mashamron. Deep down, you want your daughters for yourself. Isn't that interesting? So that's a case of a very deep, unconscious projection that Lot considered his daughters to be his own property, and he had a desire to be with them, and by proxy, he's offering them up to the people of Sodom, but it's really by proxy. So he is actually fulfilling his own desire with his daughters at that point by proxy, by suggesting that other people sleep with them. And let's go a little further. You know, why did Lot's daughters think the world came to an end? You know, what's going on over there? The Malachim certainly told Lot what was going on. They said we're destroying Sodom. They didn't say we're destroying the whole world. They came to rescue him. If the whole world was being destroyed, there'd be no place to rescue them. So Lot knew. So why didn't he tell his daughters? Right? Again, it's expressive of an unconscious wish that the daughters would actually think that it was the end of the world, and they would act accordingly. So Lot really got what he wanted, all because of an initial self-deception. He wouldn't admit to himself what he really wanted. And you could even go further, because the Gemara Nazir says that even if Lot was an ones on the first night, which let us say he was, let us say the first night, listen, he drank, he didn't know, and yeah, he was traumatized. It's understandable after such an event, you might want to drink and take your mind off your troubles. But what was the excuse for drinking the second night? Now, the Pshuta Samikra says he didn't know what happened the first night at all. Lo yoda b'shichva v'kuma. However, the Gemara Nazir says, Lama nokud alvav uvakuma shel bechira. Why is there a dot on top of the vav of uvakuma? So it says, Lomer shevashichva lo yada avukuma yada. To a degree, can't be completely because it wouldn't have said that, but it means to a degree he was aware of what happened. He was aware that something happened improperly the first night, and yet he drank the second night. And that's why they say, Dalpanya chwina lo yboile mishtechama. The second night he shouldn't have drank wine. So that's the, you know, self-deception of an addict, that he says to himself, nothing's going to happen. It starts out with not facing the true nature and a lot of lying to oneself. So Lot, way, way back, for the longest time, had desires for his daughter. So much so, the Chazal say that his offering them to the people of Sodom in place of the strangers and that very twisted morality came from a personal negias and a projection of his own desire to be with his daughters. And so bit by bit, the addict's mind unconsciously plots to manipulate events. He withholds information from his daughters about the whole world being destroyed. He drinks with them, which in and of itself is not proper. Then he drinks the second night. And the Yotze Egel is there. Boom. All of a sudden, this terrible thing happened. How in the world did it happen? Right? But that's how it happens. So what's the upshot of all this? The upshot of all this is that everybody learns in grade school, everybody learns that you're allowed to lie for shalom bias. And that is Chazal. And there's a very good reason for that. And as I said, there's some lies that one must tell. However, it's very important, as best as you can, to really look at your motives, because lies are a vehicle of distancing. Lies are a vehicle of self-deception. And it's very easy to slip down that slippery slope where one lie leads to another, as even HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to stop and say, Hamachas ani mei Avraham? Shall I hide from Avraham? Because all of a sudden the lies and the distancing in the relationship begins to just accelerate rapidly, and it must be corrected. And so one must be extremely careful. Okay, I'm going to shut off the recording, and then we can open it up for comments if people have.